What I want to talk to you about this evening is, should Christians celebrate Christmas? It started by a distant cousin of mine emailing me this week, and just in the course of conversation asking me if I like Christmas music because of all the thoughts it brings to mind, really putting focus on the holidays. And we often hear about people talking about, let's bring Christ back to Christmas, right? And I think the intention as well is putting Christ back into Christmas. Well, at some point, what they don't understand is Christ wasn't always in Christmas. At some point, they made this a religious holiday. A lot of people don't realize the history of this. When I think about Christmas, when I think about the holiday Christmas, I don't think about Jesus necessarily, because there's nothing in the Bible to support that holiday. What I think about when I hear the holiday songs on TV, I think of, going out in the woods and chasing down the perfect Christmas tree with my father as a child. Hanging up mistletoe. The claymation movies that come on TV around the holiday time and all these things. And as I got to become an adult, I don't like the holidays that much because it's become too commercialized. And I don't like the way it makes me feel. Because in order to receive what they're trying to sell you, it's like you have to buy something. It's the spirit of giving, right? And you'll feel better if you just buy all these little knickknacks that everybody's asking you for. And on the other end of the spectrum, it'll be the great Christmas if I receive all the goodies that I've been seeing on TV and everything else. And so oftentimes, the Christmas holiday as it's become often leads to just a big disappointment. If you don't have the finances to buy all the things that everybody's wanting, you feel like a bad parent or a bad husband or a bad wife or a bad brother or sister. You feel bad that you're not doing all this. And then if you don't get all the goodies that you wanted, if you didn't have a good take for that year, you look back and say, I had some better ones. This one was all right, but man, I remember that one year. I really scored big. That's what Christmas has become, unfortunately. I don't know if it is unfortunate, because maybe Christmas is going back to the pagan holiday that it started, and it was always. The beginning of it really was December 25th was in the Julian calendar that Julius Caesar established in 46 BC. The winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, was actually on December 25th. Now we have our modern calendar, the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, is December 21st. But at the time, a lot of people, because it's the shortest day of the year, it became a pagan holiday. And this is why. Well, a lot of these pagan religions, they worship the sun god. And from the shortest day of the year, every day after that, the days get longer and longer and longer. And so they think they looked at it as the rebirth of the sun. It was the rebirth of the sun, and from then the days get longer and longer and longer. Well, there's no example of Christians celebrating Christmas in the New Testament. And if you look in secular history, it wasn't until the Roman Catholic Church started expanding their influence north into Europe, all these pagan, tribes, that they wanted to have influence over them. And so they adopted the winter solstice holiday, December 25th. And then they rebranded it as a Christian holiday. One of the things I think we need to remember is Romans 12. If you turn to Romans 12, I'll just read the first three verses. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now here's the point that we need to really take to heart, brethren. In verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And sometimes I know it's hard not to conform to this world. People think it's strange, actually, that I would call myself a Christian and not celebrate Christmas. Because that's, everybody who's even not even a Christian is celebrating Christmas. And here you are, Joe, claiming to be a Christian, you're not celebrating it. That really throws people for a loop a lot of times, doesn't it? Well, it's interesting that, and I mentioned this before, if you read the New Testament scripture, nowhere in the New Testament scripture is any Christian told or commanded to celebrate Christmas. However, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable or useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Some versions say adequately equipped for every good work. And I think that if you haven't memorized that, that's a good one. That means to me that the Bible itself tells me everything I need to know as a Christian. So if somebody comes to me and tells me it's odd that you're not celebrating Christmas as a Christian, I would turn back around to them and say, well, this scripture tells me that the Bible is telling me everything I need to do as a Christian. And if it's not in the Bible, guess what? You know, if the Bible tells me every good work, well, I can't necessarily say Christmas is a work that I need to be doing. And I know that's a radical approach, but I think if we're consistent in how we view the scriptures, we have to take that stance if we're going to be consistent. So fortunately, you know, another 100 years goes by, I think we're going to see a progressive decline, Christmas returning back to the pagan holiday that it started. And I'm okay with that, because at least we'll be able to see it for what it really is. And we won't have as much of this religious confusion involved with it. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Now, this kind of goes back to what I was saying before. A lot of people, when you don't celebrate Christmas in the way that they do it, you're going to be getting a hard time. There's going to be a lot of pressure to do the things these people do. And why did I read the verse before that? Well, what does Christmas turn into? Most companies have a big holiday party where there's a lot of drinking going on. There's a lot of pressure to be doing these things. A lot of people go out, they come back home for the holidays, and they're going out to the bars and having a few drinks or cocktails with old buddies. Hey, haven't seen you in a long time. You know, just come out for one. I know you're a Christian now. Just come by to the holiday party and just have a couple beers with us, and you can go on your way. There's a lot of pressure. They think it's strange if you do not do these things, and they're going to malign you for it. But we're going to have to answer to God for everything that we do. And so I think we need to be strong enough to give an account for the things that we believe in. It's also interesting that the people who founded this country, a lot of the settlers in the colonies, they didn't celebrate Christmas either. Did you know this? Actually, the Puritans outlawed it. They banned it because they thought it was a pagan holiday, because they didn't find it in the scriptures. And it wasn't until the 19th century, which is the 1800s in this country, that Christmas became popular. It wasn't even that popular in England until Charles Dickens wrote The Christmas Carol. It had been celebrated some in the past, but it kind of lost popularity through a lot of the Reformation movement. But when he wrote that novel, it became popular again. So you can't always think it's just something that's always been done and we should do this, because there was a time in this country that it wasn't celebrated so widely. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians 11:24. There is something we are commanded to remember. Some people might think I'm like an Ebenezer Scrooge, bah humbugging on the Christmas holiday. But that's not necessarily the case. From a biblical perspective, the emphasis for Christians has always been on Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and not his birth. The term Christmas itself, Christ Mass, actually means Christ's death. When you go to Mass on Sunday, the main thing was to take the Eucharist, right? The communion, to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. And somewhere along the way, it got twisted up and started celebrating his birth. But the word Christmas itself originally meant Christ's death. But from a biblical perspective, Christians were always commanded to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. And the only memorial that we've ever been given from Christ himself, and we're asked to remember, was his death. We don't even know when his birthday was. Now, if all scripture is supposed to lead us to do what, you know, every good work, and we don't know when his birthday is, how am I going to celebrate his birthday? Don't you think that would be a required piece of information to know, if I'm supposed to celebrate his birth as a Christian? We don't know. But 1 Corinthians 11:24. We read this a lot for the Lord's Supper. Let me go back, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let me keep reading. In the same manner, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." There's two things he's asked us to remember there. Well, the blood and the body, the fruit and the unleavened bread that we come together in the Lord's Supper. But that's the memorial. And we need to, I think, educate other people about this as well. And it's a perfect opportunity because there's going to be a lot of holiday parties going on. If they haven't already gone on, there's going to be a lot of times around the water cooler to talk about this. So we're going out to lunch with people in the break room. And just drop, you know, I'm not saying be, you know, feed them as much information as they're willing to hear. How about that? Mm-hmm. You might be surprised how much they're willing to tolerate. I think that we, over this holiday season, there's going to be some of us traveling. We need to keep those people in our prayers. And there's a lot of things going on that might be troubling around the holidays, family things, and just the holidays in general oftentimes lead to a lot of stress, sometimes depression, and Christians aren't immune to those things. Just because the days are getting shorter and this, you know, we need to keep each other up and edify one another and remember each other. Don't let the only time you talk to somebody be at the building, is what I'm saying. Find opportunities to get together outside and get to know each other better. Give people a phone call or write somebody a card or letter and just make sure, let's check in on everybody and make sure that they're doing okay. And really operate, make sure we're a tight-knit unit and cohesive here, because that's the only way we're going to be able to achieve the mission that God's given us. If we you know, he's given us the body, and the body, we have different members, and we have to make sure that we're not letting certain parts linger out there.
Have an affection been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is our heart right with God? Wash in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Has not dominion or self and or sin, is our heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is our heart right with God? Is our heart right with God? Washing the crimson flood, cleansing me holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all the cows under Jesus' control? Is our heart right with God? Does he dethrone and abide in my soul? Is our heart right with God? Is our heart right with God? Washing the crimson flood, cleansing me holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Well, if there are no further announcements, I don't think there are, I'm going to go ahead and ask Michael Leo if he'll go ahead and dismiss us with prayer.
Sure. Holy Father in heaven, we are thankful, Lord, that we have a family to come to, not only to just hear your word, which is great to hear, but other like-minded Christians that fear you and are trying to serve you and change ourselves into the image of your Son, to be like Jesus. We ask and pray, Lord, that you'll help us in this fight that we this battle that we have undertaken, and when we do stumble and fail or get weak, please help us to focus even harder and stronger on you, and to cast all our cares upon you, and to ask for the strength that we need when we can't find it in ourselves, to remain righteous and holy, to get back up onto the road and be faithful and joyful to want to continue in spite of what we may have failed in the past. That's our worst enemy sometimes, Lord, being frustrated with failure. But we know that it's going to help us if we don't give up and we remain faithful. We ask and pray for your blessings on all of us here, Lord, that have physical maladies, that we would overlook these. And although we want to be healed, Lord, we still know that it would be better to suffer physical trouble and remain faithful than to be perfect in health and perish. So please help us to keep our spiritual strengths stronger than our physical body. We ask to pray for your blessings on all those who will be traveling in the next coming few days. We also ask and pray for your blessings on the Glatz family, and not only the Glatz family, but all of our families, Lord. For those that will be having young children grow older, for those that are having new children, that we learn to recognize when it's time to discipline our children in a timely fashion. Help us to do a good job teaching our children your laws and statutes, that we may be clean when we stand before you. We also hope our children will listen and obey you and your commands, but help us to do the job you have told us to do. We thank you, Father, for the good God that you are. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.